Could we all turn, please, in God's Word to 2 Kings chapter 4. The book of 2 Kings chapter 4. The boys and girls on Friday nights and during the mission gone by, in those meetings, you're always brought to the time when the Bible story is delivered. And tonight you're going to have something similar, only it will be more of a preaching time when I will preach to you and to all who are gathered. And I'm not a children's speaker. I can't do that. But I can preach by the Lord's help. We're going to do that tonight. I want you all, if you have a Bible, open it up. If you haven't got a Bible, you just sit and listen while I read the scriptures and then bring God's message. And we want you all to be quiet and still for a little time here as we make our way through this part, this very important part of the meeting. When we come to God's Word, we're opening up a book that is divine, given by God, and to be treated with reverence and quietness as we read it or hear it being read or preached. And we want you just to do this, just to sit quietly and listen to God's Word as we consider it tonight. So let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to read part of this chapter and then we'll come to the Lord's message. Let's all hear God's word. 2 Kings 4 and the verse number 17. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season, that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called on to her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came on to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And we know that God will bless the reading of these verses. Now let's all bow together again. We're going to pray before we bring God's message. Let's bow together. Let's unite our hearts in prayer before the Lord. And every one of you, dear young people, be still and quiet as we talk with the Lord. And as you hear His word, to which we're going to give some attention now in the rest of this meeting. Father in heaven, give help, we pray. May the Holy Spirit fall upon this company. We realize that if there is to be any work done, any heart touched, if there is to be any entrance of divine truth into the soul, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need His stilling influence. We need that quietening effect that He brings over the heart and over a company such as this. And we pray for this, and we ask, Lord, that Thou wilt graciously draw near. O Lord, give help from the throne. Give Thy presence, we pray, and bless us now as we continue before Thee. Speak to young and old. May salvation visit hearts tonight. May there be that convicting work of the Spirit felt deep within. May those who sit before Thee realize their need to be able to say, it is well. Hear and answer prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. and for his sake and for his eternal praise. Amen. In verse 26 of this chapter, in the closing part of the verse, we have these words, "And she answered, it is well. It is well." Now here's the response of a woman of whom the inquiry was made concerning the welfare of her household. The question was asked, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And her response was, "It is well." The only thing we know about this woman who gave this answer is that in the Bible she is called the Shunammite. That is because she lived at a place called Shunem in the land of Israel, which lay between Samaria and Mount Carmel. And the road that connected Samaria to Mount Carmel was a road that Elisha the prophet, the man of God, often traveled as he went about preaching the word of God and carrying the message of the Lord to the people of those days. And when Elisha passed by the home of this woman and her husband, he came to know them and they came to know him. And we are told in this passage that he, or in this chapter, that he became a very well-known individual in their home and in their family. They befriended him and he befriended them, and they were godly people. They loved the Lord. They loved the things of God. And therefore, this man Elisha, the prophet of God, found a ready welcome in that home and was entertained there. Provision was made for him. They built a little room for him, as the chapter shows. And in that room, he was able to stay when he was making his journey past their house. And there he was given accommodation from time to time. And during his time with them and his relationship with them as a man of God, the Lord gave them a son. We have read of his birth in this passage that we looked at in our reading a little earlier. But that young lad who was given to this couple suddenly became very ill. And in a short time he passed away. We're told in this passage that he died. That often happens, you know, in our world. It doesn't matter what age you may be, you're always subject to death. And little ones, boys and girls, young people do pass away. That is a fact of life. And here is a biblical account and a biblical instance of that kind of situation when this lad, although we don't know his age, but he only a lad, grew ill, seriously ill, and he passed away. Now such was the sorrow, obviously, that took place in that home or into which that home was plunged, that the parents, the mother especially, sought for the help and for the intervention of Elisha, the man of God. She made a journey to Mount Carmel, where Elisha was at this particular time. When she was on her way, the prophet saw her coming toward him. And he sent his servant Gehazi with this query that we find in this verse. And he put the question to the woman, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And her answer was plain and simple. She said, "It is well." Now that was a very striking answer. Indeed, we might say it was a very strange answer, because on the physical level, things were not well at all in that home and that family. As we've just noted, her son was dead. Her heart was broken. Obviously, she was in a state of sorrow. She had been bereft of that young lad. She had longed for a child, and the Lord heard her cry and her prayer and gave her this child, and now the child is dead. And therefore, it's not a situation where you might expect someone not to say this, "It is well," but that's exactly what she said. And we think carefully about her response. We must conclude, therefore, that she was speaking of spiritual matters, things that have to do with the soul. The child is dead, swiftly cut down by some great illness, and therefore, in the realm of things physical, all is not well, but her answer is, it is well. And therefore the inference is, the conclusion is, that she's talking about spiritual matters and the spiritual realm when she gives that answer. Now her answer raises a very serious issue for every person in this meeting this evening. You must face the spiritual well-being of your soul, or the issue of the spiritual well-being of your soul. You must consider very seriously this question: is it well with thee? And you must not rest until you're able to say, it is well. We sang an opening hymn tonight, that great hymn found in this hymn book of ours, where you have, based upon the words of this text, tremendous truths that are set forth in that hymn. And it says there, it is well with my soul. And that's the idea, that is the theme, that is the line of thought that rises out of this question and the answer that the woman gave to the question. And when she said, it is well with regard to the situation that she found herself in, and she was speaking of spiritual things, you and I are reminded that we must be able to say, in response to the Lord, in response to the Holy Spirit, in response to the Word of God, it is truly well with my soul. But how can we say that? How can anyone here tonight say honestly before God, it is well with my soul? We are men and women, young people, boys and girls, who have got sinful hearts, a sinful nature. We have in our record before God many sins, many transgressions. We not only are sinners, but we are facing eternity. We are facing the end of life's journey. Think about this lad and realize that death can come very swiftly and very suddenly, and maybe even far sooner than any of us will ever care to consider. But death does come, and therefore here we are, sinners before God, facing the end of life's journey, facing eternity, facing the great issue of meeting with God, standing before God someday to give an answer for our sin and for our spiritual condition. And here's what we need to be able to say: it is well with my soul. I want just to take a little time tonight to speak to you on how that could ever be, that anyone could ever say, it is well with my soul. Because that's what the woman is saying. It is well. It's well with my soul. And she's also saying, it's well with the soul of my child, even though he has passed away. May I show you from these words that all is well with the soul when we are at peace with God. The word well that's in this verse actually means peace. And so when she said, it is well, she was truly saying, it is peace. And so she is saying to the man of God concerning her and her child, and indeed her husband, that they were in a state of peace with God. And that is the only way. And that is the only time that an individual, a man or a woman or a young person, is truly able to say, honestly able to say, it is well, when that individual knows and recognizes and is fully assured, I have peace with God. Let me say to you, dear people tonight, young and old, that is what the gospel is all about. That is what the message of salvation is all about. It is this great issue of having peace with God. Remember, that's the meaning of the word well. Having peace with God. Knowing that between us and the Lord, there is peace. The enmity is gone. That enmity that sin causes, it's gone. The barriers are broken down. We are at peace with God. We're reconciled to Him. That's how the Bible puts it. And all of the barriers and the obstacles have been taken out of the way. And that's the message of this book. That's the message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, that message is what the gospel is all about, because our Lord Jesus Christ has done something in order to establish peace on behalf of sinners, so that men and women and young people and even little children are able to say honestly before God, it's well with my soul. It's all because of what Christ has done. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in coming into this world, came with the goal and the objective of establishing peace on behalf of sinners like us. And when we study the gospel, we study the scriptures, and we look carefully at what the Lord reveals to our hearts and our minds in his own precious word, we find over and over and over again this message that the Lord Jesus Christ has made peace on behalf of sinners. Now, I want you to stop or think with me here very carefully as to the great need for that peace. I've touched on it already, but let me remind you of the fact that no man, no woman, no boy, no girl by nature is at peace with God. And that's because of our sin and our fallen condition. Sin is the transgression of God's law. You young ones, when you disobey your parents, what happens? It causes disturbance in the home. It causes a situation where for a little while there has to be a dealing taken with you, and you have to be reminded of what you've done, and you have to be told that you've transgressed your parents' rules and regulations in your home and in your family, and therefore in society, in our homes and all around us, there is the issue of having law and order and regulations. But you see, being what we are, we break those laws. And we have certainly broken God's law. We have sinned against God, every one of us. And therefore we have provoked his anger and his wrath and his condemnation, and we are in danger of his judgment. And therefore we do not have peace with God because of our sin. But you see, this is, as I've been showing you, this is why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. You were singing those choruses, little ones. And you who sit around in the congregation, you heard them sing. And you heard the verses that they quoted and that were repeated and repeated so well. And what are they all about? They're all about Christ. They're all about his work. They're all about what he did when he came into the world. When he went to the cross and he died there and he shed his blood, he did all of that in order to establish peace between God and men, between a holy God and sinful individuals such as we are. And the Bible makes this absolutely clear. It says in Colossians 1, having made peace through the blood of his cross. The Lord Jesus died, and his death was a sacrifice. It was a payment for sin. It was in order to satisfy God's justice. It was in order to quench God's anger and wrath against sin, because God is angry with the wicked every day. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ died to quench that wrath and satisfy that justice. And in doing so, he established peace. And the question then is, well, how can you obtain that peace? Because the Lord has established it and has secured it for sinners like us. So how can we come into possession of the peace that is found in the gospel, that is provided by Christ, and that we may experience in our own hearts, and that may enter into our souls? How can we obtain that peace? And the answer, of course, is when we come to Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Provider of Peace, the one who sends into this world the preaching of peace, and who calls men and women to come to him. When we go to him, when we go to him in prayer and by faith, recognizing our sin and our guilt, and cast ourselves upon him and ask him to give to us what we need, what's found in him, the peace that has been established by his precious blood at Calvary. Oh, let me tell you, young folk, that's what the gospel means. That's what Christ has done. He went to the cross. He established peace for someone like you. And therefore, you may obtain that peace from Jesus Christ by seeking Him and trusting in Him as your Savior. And you see, we have in the Bible many examples to help us in this matter. We go to Luke chapter 18. We'll not take time to turn to it, but in Luke chapter 18, we read there of a certain man who went to the temple one day in Jerusalem. He was deeply anxious. He was terribly concerned about his soul. He realized that he was a sinner before God, that he was guilty before God. And he stood in that temple and he began to pray. And I'll tell you something, he just did not repeat a prayer. He did not do what people describe as saying a prayer. He prayed from deep within his soul. And his prayer was this: God, be merciful to me, the sinner. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And we are told by the Holy Spirit in that passage that man who cried to God, who came in prayer, who came in faith, who saw what there was for him, provided for him, when he cried to the Lord and put his trust in his God, we are told that he went to his house justified, which means he went to his home that day and his guilt was gone and his condemnation was gone and his sins were forgiven and he had peace with God immediately. He went down to his house justified. He went down to his house at peace with God because he had put his trust in the precious blood, in the atoning sacrifice. And all was well with his soul. And this is the point I'm making. All is well with the soul when we are at peace with God. And the question, therefore, for you tonight is, as you look at this verse, is it well with you? In other words, is it peace with you? And the only way you can give an honest answer and say, yes, I've got peace with God, is when truly and individually and consciously and deliberately you have come to Christ and you have trusted Him as your Savior. Let me say to all who are gathered here tonight, and especially the visitors, that we have not brought you along to this building, to this meeting house, to this place that meets under the name of the Free Presbyterian Church, to give you in the slightest sense the idea that we can do something for your soul, that this church can save you, or that this preacher, this minister, can actually deliver you from your sins or forgive your sins. It's just not so. Because there's no one who can forgive sins but Jesus Christ. And he's able to forgive sins and give men and women peace with God because of what he did at Calvary. And therefore, if you come to Christ and trust the Savior, you'll be able to say, it is well. You'll be able to look away into the future. Death is coming, yes, eternity is coming. And yet you'll be able to say, irrespective of when it comes, I'm ready. Because I've got Christ. I'm ready because I'm cleansed in His blood. I'm ready to die and I've got peace with God because my sin has been put away and the sin question has been dealt with and settled forever. That will be true for you if you will come to Christ tonight and trust the Savior for yourself and trust Him as your own and your personal Redeemer. And so all is well with the soul when there's peace with God. That means then that when all is well with the soul, then in death there is no sting. There's nothing to fear. This question, you see, was in relation to the death of that young boy, that young man. As we've shown you, he has died. The Bible shows it here. His mother says, it's well with him. That means the young lad who had died, there was no sting in his death. What do I mean by using the word sting? Well, I'm simply using what the Bible uses. In this book, the Word of God, It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the words of the Apostle Paul, in the form of a question, O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy sting? Let me tell you, folks, there's an awful sting in death for the soul that dies without the Lord. That's what that verse is pointing out and underlining. An awful sting in death. What it means is, what I am saying, what the Bible is saying is, that since we are sinners, since we're transgressors of God's law, when we come to die, if we die in our sins, then we die with the wrath of God against us. And we die under His judgment. We have broken His law, therefore we can't escape the consequences. We have sinned against His holiness, therefore we have provoked His wrath. And that catches up with a sinner when the sinner comes to die. Death's very final, you see. When you come to die, that's it. When you come to leave this world, there is nothing in terms of coming back again. There's nothing in terms of another chance, as people will tell you. There's nothing in terms of having forgiveness beyond death. Death is so final. And if you die without the Lord Jesus, if you die in your sins, then this awful sting of which Paul speaks will smite your soul. And you will die under the wrath of God forever. And you will be lost throughout eternity. Lost forever under the wrath of a holy God. And sinking down into the darkness of hell. Sinking down into the blackness of everlasting punishment. Lost forever. But you see, when you have peace with God and you come to die, as this boy did, there's no sting because the Lord Jesus Christ removed the sting when He died on the cross on behalf of sinners. That's what the Lord did. He took the sting out of death. He removed it for those who trust Him. And therefore, for those who die in Christ, it is well. Remember the hymn that we sang tonight at the start. And there's one verse that says this, My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to His cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Then it goes on to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And so if you die in Jesus Christ, if you die with your faith in Christ, then it will be well because there'll be no sting. It is well when we die at peace with God. It's well when we die and there's no sting in our death because we're resting in the Lord Jesus who has plucked the sting out and He took it to Himself and He suffered its awful thrust and He died under that sting. And therefore, if we trust in Him, there will be no sting in our death. The terrors of hell and of wrath, we will never know. We will never experience. And therefore it will be well. Let me say this, as well as I draw near to a close. It is well with the soul in death, the soul that trusts Jesus Christ, and it will be well with that person forever. Well throughout eternity. When she said, it is well concerning her lad, concerning her boy, she was saying that he was at peace. And she's also saying, therefore, that she was at peace about the whole situation. Why was that? Because she actually believed that there would be a resurrection of her son. And you know, that actually happened in this story, as the passage shows. Her boy was raised again from the dead. And she believed that was going to happen. Now, I want you to take that thought. She said, it is well, because there was peace in his death. There was no sting in his death, and also because she believed that he was going to rise again from the dead. Now, please think with me about that, folks, because I just said death It's final with regard to life here. There's no coming back. There's no reincarnation. There's no second chance. There's no redemption beyond the grave. But at the same time, for those who die on the Lord Jesus, there is a future. There's a future with regard to the resurrection. And one day the Lord is coming again. And one day the trumpet will sound. And one day the Savior will appear in all His glory in the heavens. And will come with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And what a glorious day that will be for those who are in Him. Because then there will be a raising up of all those who have died in Christ, and they will be brought from their graves. Their bodies, I mean, will be brought from their graves, and their souls will be brought from being with the Lord between their deaths and their resurrection. And those souls and those bodies will be brought back together, and those people will live again as complete persons, and yet they will do so in union with Christ, to dwell with Christ forever. That's why it is well with those who die in Jesus Christ. Because though they die, they will rise again. They will live with Christ forevermore. And I remind you of one other verse from that hymn that we sang. But Lord, 'tis for Thee, for Thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. Now listen, folks, that is the gospel also. There's a day coming when the Lord Jesus will return in His glory. And for those who have died with their faith in Christ, their souls are now with Him in heaven. Their bodies will be raised from the grave. And they will live with Christ forevermore. Blessed hope. Blessed future. And on that basis, it is well with all who are in Christ. Therefore, I want you tonight to think very carefully about your soul, about your state before God, about your future, about how it is with you. Some here maybe have never really heard the gospel preached before. I don't know. But we're glad to see you. And it's my prayer that even tonight you will come to Christ. There are some here who have heard the gospel many a time. And I ask you tonight, is it well with you? And you know fine well it's not well with your soul. You know you're not ready to die. You know you're not saved. You know you're not ready to leave this world. And therefore I urge you to come to Christ. Whoever, whatever your knowledge, though this be one of the very first times to hear the message of salvation, you can be saved tonight. And you can leave this meeting house saying, it's well with me now. I've met the Lord. I've come to Christ. I've put my trust in Him. I've repented of my sin. I've turned away from all that has made me guilty and all that's destroying my life. And I've now embraced the Savior. I tell you, dear friend, that can happen to you tonight if you will seek the Lord. You can go away saved, like that man whom I mentioned in the temple in Jerusalem so long ago. He went down to his house justified, at peace with God, right with God, ready for heaven. Come to Christ tonight. Seek Him with all your heart. Because in your sin, it is not well with you. Therefore, seek the one who saves, who forgives, who cleanses. He bids you come. He will receive you when you come to Him. and you cast yourself upon him. And may you take that step even this night. Let us bow in prayer as we come to the close of this meeting. Let's all bow quietly before God for prayer before we end. And may I again just say to anyone here who'd like to have a word with me that I'd be glad to help you, glad to speak with you about these matters, about these issues, and therefore make known to me when the meeting is over, you'd like to have talked with me, and I will be glad to speak with you and point you to the Savior. It's been great to have you here tonight, and may God's word live on in your hearts. And dear Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will bless the word that has been brought. May it be registered upon minds and applied by the Spirit of God. And may there be a work done for eternity. Bless these dear children. Bless mums and dads, other family members. Bless the home from which they come and the areas from which they come. And O God, pour out your Spirit and work with power. And do thy work in many hearts. Bless the time over in the church hall. Receive her thanks for the refreshments that will be provided. And then, Lord, give traveling mercies home. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all who are thine, both tonight and forever. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.